ध्यायामोदबलापगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we are discussing the seventh chapter of Gita. So today we will discuss starting the 16th shloka. So as we discussed in the previous days, so Krishna is speaking about or trying to speak about that knowledge, the knowledge as well as implementation of that knowledge, which will make a person complete in all aspects. So yajñātvā neha bhūyo anyat jñātavyam avaśiṣyate. So that by knowing which everything will be known, that is what Krishna is trying to speak in this particular chapter. And what is that entity? Krishna himself has spoken about it. Mattap paradaram nānyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. O Arjuna, there is nothing different from me. So whatever is being seen, whatever is being seen, whatever is being heard, everything is Ishvara, everything is me alone, everything is that Advitiya Satyam. So even as various gold ornaments are gold alone, similarly this entire world is just an illusion of name and form, names and forms in Ishvara. So Ishvara alone is present here. So he is the basis, he is the substratum of everything. So once he is known, then it is as good as everything is known. So when we know as to know the very nature of gold, then all gold ornaments, we will know them. Oh, some new fashion comes, still we know it because it's only gold. So similarly, when a person knows Brahman, then everything becomes known. And Krishna also gave an example or in a way gave an example, gave through it, sorry, not example, but through examples he showed us how we can realize this truth. So we can realize this truth by knowing, by remembering that everything is Ishvara only. So whatever is there is essentially Ishvara, and that is how we can do. And currently we are in Rajasic Guna and Tamasic Guna. One is where a person is lazy, and second is where a person is indulging in actions and desire. Rather than that, a person has to move on to Sattva. Person has to try to get this knowledge and implement this knowledge. So by going through Sattva, a person will go beyond the gunas, realizing that everything is Ishvara. So Sattva is when a person is always trying to remember Ishvara, he may fail at many points or like many times, like he may just forget Ishvara, but again he reminds himself, oh, this is Ishvara, I have forgotten this. Let me remind myself again. Yato yato nischarati manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyet atmanyeva vasham nayet. So Krishna says in the 6th chapter of Gita that whenever the mind goes away, pull the mind back and fix it onto Ishvara. So often we would all have gone through a similar experience when we were in school or college, like the lecture or the class will be really boring, therefore like we will just so there the college is in a hilly area where there is like a lot of trees, like my college like there used to be a lot of trees, and thereby like since it was in a hilly area and there were a lot of trees, natural beauty, and there were two doors, few windows, everything, so just look outside. So for a few minutes, oh, this is boring. Let me look outside. So we get distracted into natural beauty. All of a sudden, after like, we don't know when, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, all of a sudden we remember. Okay, the professor doesn't catch us, but still all of a sudden we remember. Oh, I got distracted. Oh, let me come get back again. This happens quite a lot. So similarly, it may happen that we will forget Ishvara. So it is a struggle. It is something which we have to initially put effort into remembering Ishvara. Since we are in the dual world, since Namarupam is so attractive, therefore we may get deluded into Namarupam. But any time when we remember that, oh, I forgot Brahman, I forgot Ishvara, we have to pull the mind back into Ishvara. So that is what has to be done. And, oh, this seems really easy. Oh, remembering that everything is Ishvara. This entire world is Ishvara. So if I know Ishvara, everything is known. And what else to know other than Ishvara? If everything is Ishvara, then whatever I know is Ishvara only. So knowledge becomes complete there. Just remembering that everything is Ishvara is enough. That is knowledge. That is implementation. Everything is done there. If everything is done there, then why don't people realize? So Krishna himself said, Manishyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. So out of thousands of people, very few strive for this truth. Why is it that? Because they are deluded by Maya. So what is Maya? As we discussed, Maya is Namarupam. Maya is that which makes us feel that Namarupam is real. Is Maya real? No. If everything is Ishvara, where can Maya be there? Where can the deluding Maya be there? The delusion is also part of this entire illusion. The delusion is not real. It is also just an illusion. So it's like a person dreaming. So while dreaming, he dreams that, oh, he forgets his nature. Somehow he forgets his nature. He gets into somebody puts a spell on him. Somebody puts a spell on him, and thereby he forgets himself. And then he is like a slave to somebody else. He behaves like a dog. Literally, he behaves like a dog, like walks on his legs and feet. He licks things. He barks. So all those he does. All of a sudden, he wakes up. So that delusion in the dream also was an illusion. So that is, Maya is also an illusion. The moment we remember Ishvara, Maya vanishes. The moment we forget Ishvara, we are in Maya. So what is Maya? Forgetting Ishvara is Maya. So that is the reason why people who claim to be devotees, people who claim to be devotees of Ishvara, but still are in misery because they don't realize or remember Ishvara, they are also in Maya. Well, how do you know they are in Maya? Simple, Maya is something which deludes a person. What is delusion? Delusion is sorrow. Delusion is sorrow, moham. Moham is delusion. Moham leads to shokam. So shokam, sorrow comes. Wherever sorrow is there, we know such a person is deluded. So only a person who is always remembering Ishvara, such a person alone can be happy. And this is not tough to practice, but still Maya is there, and thereby this Maya is very powerful. It is like the magic. We may be able to do a few magic, but PC Sarkar, when he does magic, like, it's something much more. If we have seen the movie The Illusionist, we will understand it. So there are some magicians, there are really big, great magicians whose magic will be as if it is real. So Maya is very delusive. That's of course Namarupam. It is very attractive. So any minute we forget Ishvara, we are in Maya. Therefore it isn't easy. As easy as it seems, it's not that easy. But of course it is easy. How it is easy? There's only one factor here. Remembering that everything is Ishvara. The moment we remember, it becomes very easy. The moment we forget this truth, we don't remember it, it becomes really tough. So that's why the Shastra says that tadure tadvu antihi. It is very near, yet it is very far. It's our own very nature, yet it is very far. Because it's our own nature, but anandam is not experienced, so it is very far. So the moment we remember Ishvara, everything becomes shubham, shubham. And the moment we forget Ishvara, ashubham, due to maya, dukkham comes. Oh, this maya like is very tough. But still, Krishna says, oh, that is fine. I just wanted to give you an answer. I just wanted to let you know that there is something called maya. So be on alert, be alert or be aware. Always be on alert so that you don't get distracted. So it's like telling, okay, oh, I think like I'll go fishing today in a boat. Oh, you're going fishing. Where are you going? This particular river. Oh, that river. Okay, you can go, but be careful. There will be some crocodiles and all. So be a little careful. That doesn't mean that don't go. It just means that, but there can be crocodiles. So let me be on the alert. So he puts a fish. He puts the fishing rod, and it's as if something is pulling him. So immediately he knows, oh, this is a crocodile. Let me throw the fishing rod. He throws, and he already has a backup fishing rod as well because he knew this. So that means be on alert. So Krishna says, I'm just telling, giving you an information. This is only for people who forget Ishvara. So I assume that you are not going to forget Ishvara. So it may not be really essential. But still, it is my duty to tell you everything. Therefore, I am telling you that there is something called Maya. It may delude you. So be alert. So that's why Krishna said. So there are only two things here. One is Brahman or Ishvara and Namarupam or Ishvara and Maya. Forget Ishvara, Maya comes into picture. Remember Ishvara, Maya automatically vanishes. That is what Krishna says. Nameva ye prapadyante. So in the next shloka, Krishna will be telling us to knowledge or remembering Ishvara. That everything is Ishvara. That remembrance, that knowledge is called moksha. That is moksha. And such a person knows everything. Such a person will lead a blissful life. So, but many people are deluded into Maya. Some people know about this truth. Some people know but cannot remember it. Some people know but they are not convinced of it. Therefore, they cannot remember. Therefore, Krishna says that there are four types of bhaktas. So, gradually you can realize the ultimate truth. Gradually you can become a person who goes beyond Maya. But the first step is what? First step is seeking Ishvara. What does that mean? That means I am in dukkham. I need a solution for this dukkham. Unfortunately, many of us are in that state. Like we are in dukkham. We want to get rid of dukkham. But we don't know the real cause of dukkham. The real cause of dukkham is what? Forgetting the ultimate truth and considering Namarupam as real. Since we don't know that, therefore we seek temporary solutions. So such bhaktas who seek temporary solutions are also there, but they will be slowly, more they seek Ishvara, of course for temporary solution, Ishvara will give a chance for them to become a, or to find out the real cause or show them the real cause of sorrow and thereby make them realize. So, Chaturvidha bhajante maam jana sukratino arjuna artho jijnyasurartarti jnani cha bharatarshava. So, O Arjuna, Chaturvidha bhajante maam janaha. So, people, there are four types of bhaktas who worship me. And Sukratino Arjuna, Sukratinaha, they all have done good deeds. Why? Because at least they seek me. Oh, they don't know my nature. Oh, still it is fine. They seek me. They know that there is some Ishvara who created this world. And they seek me. That is more than enough. So they have done good karma. They seek me. gradually they will progress. And what are these the people? So artha, first is artha. So artha means one who wants to get rid of his suffering. And the second is artharthi. So artharthi, who wants artham, who wants wealth. The third is jijnyasu, a person who wants knowledge. And the fourth is a jnani. So this is a gradual thing. Like first step is artha or artharthi. So majority of people either want something in the world or they want to get rid of sorrow. So worldly seekers, or ask any person, like we can take a survey of the first 10 people we meet and ask them as to what they want in life. So some people will say, oh, I have bodily pain, I have asthma, I need to get rid of it. And somebody else will say, I want a real good job where I can get a lot of money, a lot of money. So those are the two types. We can't find a third type. Of course, there is a third type. Don't jump now. There is a third type. What is the third type? People like us who will say, oh, well, sorrow, like bodily sorrow, worldly sorrow, okay, that will always be there. I know the solution. There is only one solution to it. That the solution to it is knowledge. Getting knowledge and abiding in knowledge. Therefore, I want that knowledge. I want that knowledge. That means they are people who seek knowledge. That is a third category. So these people can be also be split into two. One, I haven't got any knowledge, but I need knowledge. And second, I've got some knowledge, but I'm not able to abide in knowledge. Therefore, I need to strengthen knowledge. Two cases, we can say, just one. So a person who wants knowledge, the third type, alone gets permanent relief. Alone means he alone can get. Of course, as Krishna said earlier, many people strive, very few people are able to stick on to Ishvara beyond the delusion of Maya, delusion of Namarupam. Therefore, but all of these jnyasus will not realize now, it will take time, but they will realize. Oh, even Artha and Artati will realize if we think, oh, I ask Amma a lot of worldly things now, possessions. I have asked Amma that I need to get a car, so I need to get a house. I have asked all those. So we don't need to worry, because everybody has to realize someday, because we already are Ishvara. There will be a day when we will realize. We have to realize, because we cannot be ignorant for a long period of time. We cannot be. Of course, that doesn't mean that, like, how long? We don't know, infinite time. It may be many, 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 many births. Therefore, oh, I will realize. This guy said that everybody will realize. Therefore, I will wait till the time comes. So that is not what a sadhaka would do. Why should I wait? I want it now. Why do I want it? Because that will give me anandam. That will make me perfect. Therefore, I want it now. So the first step in the spiritual path, in the path itself, is when a person seeks Ishvara. And generally we seek Amma or Ishvara for worldly things. So either getting objects or getting rid of sorrow. Oh Amma, I want to join Vedanta course. Oh Amma, my father, my parents are troubling me. Oh Amma, I don't have a job, I need it. Oh Amma, I am having migraine, get rid of it. Oh Amma, like it is very cold, I cannot bear it, my body is not able to bear it, so help me get rid of it, Amma. So many cases we also ask such things. That is fine asking, but we have to progress into asking, oh Ishvara, I only want knowledge. So that's a beautiful incident in the life of Swami Vivekananda when he was Narendra. So Narendra's family, like, background was that his entire family was in poverty. So they were very poor. So Paramahamsa Yoga, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa once told Narendra, oh Narendra, if you go and ask Devi, she will give you, she can give you wealth so that your family will not struggle any longer. So why don't you ask? So Narendra said, okay, you are my guru, so you say so, I'll go and ask. So Narendra goes, like, Ramakrishna Paramahansa is very happy. So Narendra goes, like, boldly, or a brave person, with his chest up, he goes. And then, like, he goes and then comes back very happy. Ramakrishna Paramahansa asks him, oh, I see that you are very happy, so I guess, like, you have maybe said that, okay, everything will be fine. Then Narendra says, no, I didn't ask that. What happened? Tell me. So I went to the Kali temple and I found Kali herself there. So I found Kali there. And seeing Kali, I asked, Oh Devi, give me Vivekam and Vairagyam. Give me discrimination and dispassion so that I can go beyond Namarupam. Give me the strength that let me remember Ishvara. And I came back. Oh, you are such a fool, Ramakrishna shouted at him. You are a fool. Go once again, go and ask. Narendra again goes, the same result. He goes once more time, again the same result. So after three times, Ramakrishna says, oh, I know, like, you cannot ask. So I will ask on your, like, for you, I will ask. So I'll ask Devi so that your family gets the bare minimum needs of life. So their bare needs are fulfilled, I'll take care of it. So that is what would happen for a Jijnyasu. So a Jijnyasu, like, we may think when a Jijnyasu asks for knowledge alone, so we may think that when a Jijnyasu asks for knowledge, his worldly life will go for a toss. But in fact, worldly life will become even better. As Krishna says, Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana pariupasate tesham nithyabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Whoever is constantly, whose focus is constantly fixed on to me, I'll take care of all their things. So we have to shift. We have to, rather than asking worldly things, we have to start asking knowledge. O Amma, give me the strength that let me remember Ishvara. So give me the strength so that at all times I'll be able to remember that everything is Ishvara. Give me this knowledge, strengthen this knowledge, whatever can help me in strengthening this knowledge, help me in abiding in this knowledge, give me that. So that is a Jijnyasu. So Arthan Arthati Jijnyasu. And then what would happen? When a person seeks knowledge and he gets knowledge, then he becomes a Jnani. A Jnani is one who is ever abiding in Ishvara. A Jijnyasu wants knowledge, which means he tries to abide in Ishvara, whereas a Jnani is always abiding in Ishvara. So how to become a Jnani? Constantly become a Jijnyasu. Each and every minute of our life, we have to keep asking, let me remember Ishvara, let me remember Ishvara, remember Ishvara, remember Ishvara, remember Ishvara. The more and more we do it, we'll become a Jnani. Oh, if all these are bhaktas, then it's fine. I'll become a normal bhakta. I don't need this and all. I will become an Arthan Arthati. Of course, each of these bhaktas and abhaktas who are not bhaktas, they are also seeking Ishvara. Ishvara in the form of Sukham. Ishvara as Anandam is what everybody is seeking. Everybody is seeking that, but who will get it? The person who really knows where it resides. A person who knows that Anandam is, or Anandam can be achieved only by going beyond Namarupam and remembering Ishvara, such a person alone will get Anandam. Though everybody is seeking Anandam, only he will get. So lakhs of people write the CAT exam. Everybody wants to get into IIM, but still only few get into. What is the difference? Those few know as to what, how can I get into IIM? So I can get into IIM by doing these sadhana, by doing, following these. Thereby they get into it. So only few know as to how to get. So many people will make rasam, but Some people will make rasam which will be so spicy. Some people will make rasam which will be okay. Some people will make rasam which is good. And some people will make rasam which will be very good. The recipe, like everybody has all the ingredients, but what is missing? The proper recipe. So similarly, everybody, whether a bhakta or abhakta, manishya, manava, or deva, rishi, it doesn't matter who we are, gandharva, yaksha, or the different types of beings, it doesn't matter. Everybody is seeking anandam. But a person who becomes a jijnyasu alone will get anandam. How will he get anandam? By becoming a jnani. So that means a wise person will try to become a jijnyasu. He will try to jijnyasu. Oh, I have to become jijnyasu. So I'll go on listening to Paramartha. I'll go on reading Chinmayananda's work. So that is not what is meant here. So that is partly getting knowledge. That is just one step. The next is trying to live that knowledge. That is more important. So that is where Krishna, after saying that matta paradaram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya, there it's done. So whatever he had to say, that is done there. But still he goes on to stay, how can a person become that? So he says, okay, slowly progress from my artharthi to jijnyasu to jnani. So you go beyond maya by seeing oneness everywhere. So Krishna didn't have to say all this, all those, just give knowledge, that is enough. But that's not really enough. So implementation is also important. So jijnyasu is not a person who tries to get knowledge alone, but he tries to implement knowledge. So it is not just gaining knowledge, but trying to implement as well. And of these, like, who is the greatest? Who is the best of these? If we ask, sorry, got cut. So continue. So jijnyasu is a person like who is not just trying to gain knowledge, but who is trying to implement knowledge as well. And of these bhaktas, of course, of all these bhaktas, who is the greatest? Of course, the greatest person is a jnani, because he alone knows the truth. So bhakti here is knowledge. So this is where we find Krishna telling that bhakti and knowledge, bhakti and jnanam, both are not different, both are one and the same. So there are people who say, okay, I want bhakti, I want jnanam, I want bhakti. Bhakti is greater, jnanam is greater. So there is nothing like that mentioned in the scriptures. So we find that clearly here, as Krishna says that the greatest bhakta is a jnani, which means jnanam and bhakti both are exactly the same. So tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyohi jnanino atyartam aham sacha mama priyah. So of all these bhaktas, so who is the greatest bhakta? Arjuna might have a doubt. Oh, you have given four varieties. How, like, okay, just because we learned, okay, we, they said that, okay, artha and artharthi is first, and then jijnyasu, and then he becomes a jnani. We, when it, like, put them in gradation form, or higher priority, we prioritize them, or put them like 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. But Krishna is not doing here, so Arjuna may have a doubt as to who is the greatest. So Krishna says, tesham, of these people, jnani, nitya yukta, he is ever focused on me, and eka bhakti, he is eka bhakti means one-pointed devotion, and vishishyate, therefore he is the greatest. So why is the jnani greatest? Because nitya yukta is ever focused, and eka bhakti, one-pointed, which means that at all times, nitya yukta, at all times, he remembers Ishvara, and eka bhakti, he is focused on that one truth. Oh, this is jnanam Krishna is telling. This is the same as mayyeva mana adatsva mayi buddhin niveshaya. Mayyeva mana adatsva means nitya yukta, ever focused on Ishvara. And Ega Bhakti means one pointed means focused on that one truth alone, that means going beyond duality is what is the meaning there. So, that is the same as Bhakti. So, Jnani is the greatest Bhakta because he is ever steadfast, always focused on me, one pointed, his concentration is only on me, so ever focused on me. And Eka Bhakti is like, it is, he has that one pointed. So ever focused and one pointed. So one pointed means, ever focused means there is no breakage. And one pointed means he doesn't concentrate on anything else as well. So, why is the jnani greatest? The jnani is the greatest. Okay, Krishna has given the reason here, but in simple words, why is the jnani greatest? Because the jnani is a person who goes beyond namarupam. He goes beyond namarupam and he is ever abiding in Ishvara. And why is that greatest? Because the jnani is ever abiding in anandam. The jnani is always blissful. Why is it that? Because whenever we say, like, when we, oh, your job, my job is better than your job. When do we say that? So we say that not because the job is interesting, job is attractive, we get to wear funky clothes, we can live like a cool person, nothing of that sort. One job is better than the other job because the ultimate outcome of the job is more. Which means what? More pay. So the job which has more pay is of course better than the job with less pay. So the outcome is what really matters. Similarly, in all these bhaktas, if we look at all these bhaktas, that bhakta who has anandam at all times, that bhakta is the greatest. And who is that bhakta? So that bhakta is called jnani. Of course, this doesn't mean we shouldn't become jijnyasu. The way to become a jnani is only through jijnyasa. So generally, we are abhaktas first. We don't believe in Ishvara. We don't know Ishvara. Then we start knowing about Ishvara a little bit. And at that time, we become artha and artharti. The more we learn about Ishvara, jijnyasu, we want to get more knowledge about Ishvara, more abiding in that knowledge. And once we become a jijnyasu, we are a jijnyasu and constantly trying to be jijnyasus, then we become a jnani. And such a jnani is ever in Ishvara. Ishvara pervades his thought. A jnani is one who sees everything as Ishvara. And therefore, priyo hi jnanino atyartam. So I am very dear, aham. So I am very dear to the jnani. And such a mama priya, he is also very dear to me. So Krishna says here, such a bhakta, jnani bhakta, is very dear to me and I am also very dear to him. Oh, this is really unfair. I don't want to continue any such worship of such Ishvara. I don't want to learn about any such Ishvara who is partial. Ishvara is supposed to be impartial, but he is partial here. He says he likes jnani and the jnani likes him. Okay, jnani likes him, that's fine. He likes jnani, this is unfair. This is not unfair. Krishna is just giving a figurative or from our perspective, from our dual perspective, he is trying to explain it. So why is jnani dear to Ishvara? Quite simple. Because the jnani is not different from Ishvara. Can a person hate himself? Yeah. People do cut their own hands and commit suicide. Why do they commit suicide? They commit suicide because they cannot be happy. What if they are not happy? It cannot be because they like themselves, they love themselves and they want to be happy. They cannot but be happy, therefore they commit suicide. So suicide is also a form of, like, we can say suicide is a way in which we demonstrate the love for our own self. So we love ourselves, therefore we commit suicide. And a person cannot but love himself, because that is his very nature. So a jnani is a person who knows that he is Ishvara, everything is Ishvara. So he's not different from Ishvara. There is only Ishvara for him. If there is only Ishvara, can he hate Ishvara? No, if there is only one, how can there be hate? So he has to love. Oh, can he love him? Okay, love is also not possible there, but it is from that perspective, from Jnani's perspective, there is only Ishvara, so no love, no hate. But from our perspective, we need to know as to how would the Jnani be. So Krishna says that the Jnani likes me, then I am dear to the Jnani and the Jnani is dear to me. Why? Because both are inseparable. Maybe Ishvara is, Krishna is telling, Oh God, how I wish that I didn't have to like this Jnani. Maybe Krishna would have cried like that. Okay, this is just a joke. He will never cry like that because he cannot. But this is just a joke. So the Jnani, these are statements which we have to understand clearly. So the Jnani is very dear to Ishvara because the Jnani is not different from Ishvara. And at the empirical level, the Jnani is very dear to Ishvara, which means everything is Ishvara. That means everything will do good to the Jnani. Nothing can harm the Jnani. Nothing can really harm the Jnani. Nothing can really harm the Jnani. So empirically, harm also will happen to the Jnani. Ramana Maharshi had tumor. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had also cancer or something like that. So all Mahatmas have had trouble. But those trouble will not really harm them because they know that everything is Ishvara. Whatever they are facing is just an illusion. So the Jnani, so Krishna, there is another reason for Krishna mentioning as dear. So Krishna could have said that, Jnani is very dear to me because, like, he is one with me. He doesn't say that because from our perspective, he wants to create a little jealousy. Of course, jealousy works everywhere. So if we want to test whether a person really loves us, we should create some jealousy or give some jealousy test, which people often do now. These days, people often do it. So jealousy is test. So Krishna also wants to make us jealous of the Jnani. Oh, Jadav, Ishvara loves the Jnani. How I wish that I was that Jnani. Okay, I will replace that Jnani. I will become the Jnani so that Ishvara loves me. So if somebody can think from this perspective and get that devotion, very good. It's very, very good. It's something that will work instantly. Because though these, we are used to these kind of emotions, so that these emotions will come natural to us. So if we can get something like that, well and good. But not to delude a person with the real meaning, or as to why the Jnani is dear to Ishvara, is because the Jnani is Ishvara. How does the Jnani become Ishvara? Nitya yukta eka bhakti. The Jnani is ever focused on Ishvara. And he is always one point, that he doesn't have any other thought. So whatever he sees, he goes beyond, as Krishna explained, Matta paradaram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya, which is mameva ye prapadyante. The Jnani has prapatti. The Jnani is always focused on Ishvara. He knows that there is only Ishvara, and that is why he is dear to me. And I am dear to him. I am dear to him because he is always remembering me. He is dear to me because he has become one with me because of the remembrance. So that is the reason why Jnani is greater than all other bhaktas. And the other reason that we said is anandam. So this can give anandam, and that's also the reason why the Jnani is the greatest devotee. Of course, Krishna's reason for a jnani. A jnani is always remembering me, and therefore I am dear to him, he is dear to me, works even from empirical viewpoint. So when somebody wants to, like, there are two proposals coming. So two friends, like there are three friends, let's say one girl and two guys. So the two guys, like, both are friends with the girl, and they both propose to the girl. So that the girl, if she wants to find out, okay, whom should I marry, so the girl will find out who loves her better. So similarly here, Krishna also says the greatest bhakta is one who is very dear to me. And who is very dear to me? How can I know, like, which of these friends love me more? Oh, that's simple, very simple. The one who remembers me at all times, or remembers me more than the other person, he likes me more, therefore I will also like him more. Similarly here, a person who always remembers Ishvara, that is Vijnani, is very dear. And I am gone now, so I am just a Jijnyasu now. And Ishvara loves only Jnani, therefore we shouldn't feel such an emotion, we shouldn't feel sad about it. Therefore Krishna says, Udara sarvayevete jnani tvatmeiva me matam astidas sahiyuktatma mameva nuktamam gatim. So udara sarvayevete, so ete, all these four devotees are udara. They are, like, really great. All these four devotees are great, because even an artha and arthadi, they are seeking Ishvara. So someday they will become a jijnyasu, and someday they will become a jnani. Therefore all these bhaktas are great, but jnani is my own self. The jnani has become me. So jnani is me. So the jnani is me, therefore I said that he is greater, or he is the greatest. So I said the jnani is superior, the jnani bhakta is superior, because he is myself. Of course, a person loves himself the most, therefore jnani is myself. And astitaha sahayuktatma, he is yuktatma, he is a person whose mind is always focused, fixed on to Ishvara. And astitaha, he is always, like, trying to establish, or he is kind of always situated in Ishvara. So yukta atma means one whose mind is controlled and focused. Astitaha means ever established. And mameva anuktamam gatim, he knows me as the anuktamam gatim, the supreme goal of life. How does he know me as the supreme goal of life? Because a jijnyasu is a person who knows me as the supreme goal of life. And through knowing me as the supreme goal of life, he realizes me. When he realizes me, that becomes the only goal of life. That itself becomes goal. That itself becomes life. That itself becomes everything. Therefore, the jnani is a person who achieves me by considering me as the supreme goal of life. So all devotees are great. All devotees are really great. They are great. They have to be appreciated. But still, the jnani is the greatest. Oh, we should. All these perspectives are given so that we don't get deluded. So all devotees are great. All these are sukravinaha. All these have done good karmas. Then, let me become just artha. Oh, jijnyasu, it is very tough. I have to learn a lot of work. I have to sit through the Gita sessions. I have to sit through Brahma Sutra sessions. I have to sit through Bhakti Sutra sections. So that is really tough. I'll become an artha. I'll just visit Amma once in a year and then pour out my suffering. So I have these many sufferings. List down and say, Amma, remove it. So that's enough for me. We shouldn't think like that. Such a person is not dear to Ishvara. Dear to Ishvara means Ishvara is not residing in him. So if Ishvara is not residing in him, Anandam is not residing in such a person, which means such a bhakta will not be ever happy. So temporarily we will go to Amma. Amma will touch us. Oh, headache gone. After 1 year, like when Amma is, like, not there with us, again headache will come. Again we will go. After 3 times, headache like becomes bored with us. So headache will become something else. Headache will become fever or cold, and then paralysis. This trouble, that trouble, trouble will keep shifting. Temporarily it will vanish. It will again come. Again and again it will come. So only a person who becomes a Jnani Bhakta, Ishwara will be always there with such a person, and such a person will go beyond Maya. Such a person will be ever blissful. So irrespective of situations, such a Bhakta, the Jnani Bhakta, irrespective of what is the situation, he'll be ever blissful. And that is the goal of life. So the starting itself, Krishna said that after knowing which you will not have anything else to know. So that is possible only when we become one with Ishwara, we become a Jnani who is always abiding in Ishwara. So that is how Matta Paradaram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. So always remembering that there is only Ishwara. So trying to become a Jnani. So Jnani means like, when do we become a Jnani? When Ishwara's thought is always there with us, we become a Jnani. When it comes and goes, we are Jijnyasus. So only by becoming a Jnani, you can get Anandam. And this Jnani, like, not much different between Jijnyasu and Jnani. Oh, Artha, they also seek Ishwara. Artha, they also seek Ishwara. Jijnyasu also seek. That means, all are seeking Ishwara. If I am seeking Ishwara, then what is the trouble in remembering Ishwara's very nature? Anyway, I have to seek Ishwara. Oh, anyway, I have to seek Ishwara. So why not remember Ishwara's name? Or not name, sorry, nature. Why not remember Ishwara's nature? Ishwara's nature is all pervasive. Oh, it's like telling, okay, I need to buy some milk. And let me go to the Walgreens store. Oh, I'm going to Walgreens. So let me look like if I don't have something else. Let me get that also. Anyway, I'm going, so let me get that. Oh, you are going? The neighbor will say, you are going? Okay, I also need to get something. Can I come? Oh yeah, come. Anyway, I am going. It doesn't matter if one more person comes. So come, we can go. So similarly, anyway, all of these bhaktas remember Ishwara. So why not remember that Ishwara is all pervasive? Else what would happen is, once go to Ishwara for some sorrow, temporary sorrow removal, or gaining some worldly object, and then again go for knowledge. By again and again going, of course going itself means it's a lot of trouble. It's not like ancient times when we just remember, when we pray to Brahma for a few hours or few years, like Brahma will come in front of us. We have to go to Ishwara, and these days Ishwara is also, like the various devatas also have learned not to give boons as easily as ancient times. So they will test us. They will say, oh, let him come once more, then I'll give. So they have also learned from our behavior, our politics. They have also learned politics, and they also know to implement it. Okay, all these are just jokes. All these are ways in which I, or like what we are trying to emphasize here through all these jokes is that anyway we are seeking Ishwara, so let us try to be Jnanis. Let us set the goal to become Jnani so that we get Anandam. At least that Anandam. Always remember that Anandam. So if I need Anandam, Jnani. Anandam, Jnani. Anandam, Jnani. What is Jnani? Jagat is Mithya, Namarupam is Mithya. Brahman Ishwara alone is real. So Anandam, Mithya, Namarupam, Ishwara. Anandam, Nityanama Rupam Ishwara. And then what? Anandam Sarvam Ishwaramayam. Anandam Sarvam Ishwaramayam. Anandam Ishwara. Anandam Ishwara. Anandam Ishwara. It's very easy. Just remembering in the mind, mug it up first few times. Just mechanically remember this. Like I have to now go and eat food. So let me eat. Oh, while eating, rice. Ishwara. Eating, Ishwara. Hand, Ishwara. Mouth, Ishwara. Friend, Ishwara. TV, Ishwara. Serial in the TV, Ishwara. So simple, we already know why all these are Ishvara, because all these are just Namarupa, means Sajidanandam, which is Ishvara. So we know that. So mechanically remember it. Even if we don't understand as to why everything is Ishvara, still fine. Everything is just Namarupam. So gold ornaments, similarly the world Ishvara. So mechanically remember that everything is Ishvara. So the more and more we try to remember this, we become jnanis. And the moment we become jnani, Ishvara resides in us, which means that we'll be ever blissful. So bliss, which is the goal of life, can be achieved. Like do artha arthaarti might, like they may feel that they are getting bliss, they are getting only temporary happiness. Even a jitnyasu might feel that I listened to Tejomi Ananta's discourse, it was so good. I went to Michigan, I met Amma, like Amma's discourse was superb. But can it give me eternal bliss? No, it cannot. What can give me eternal bliss? Well, remembering what Amma says, try to remember everything is Ishvara. That alone can give me eternal bliss. Neither Paramatma's discourse, nor Tejomi Ananda's discourse, nor Amma, nor even Krishna's discourse can give us Anandam. We can get Anandam only by remembering that everything is Ishvara. Seeking Ishvara, remembering His nature of all-pervasiveness, or His all-pervasive nature alone can give us Anandam, and that is a jnani. So that alone can give us Anandam. So Anandam is what we are seeking. We want Anandam. So let us start. We are now jitnyasus. So we can't say that, okay, let us try to be a jitnyasu. We are already jitnyasu. We are seeking Anandam. So knowingly seeking Anandam through knowledge, by learning all this Gita and all other works, we are jitnyasus now. So the next step is what? Jnanis. Let us try to be jnanis. Let me try to be a jnani. If Arjuna could become a jnani, I can also become. So let me give it a try. I am already jnani, so it's not a big deal. It's not that tough. It's very easy. So I am going to seek Anandam. I am going to get Anandam, whatever happens, whatever it takes, I am going to get Anandam. And of course, it's not whatever it takes, it's just one thing. Always remembering that everything is Ishvara. So I will try to do that so that I am not an artha or artharthi or even jijnyasu. I am a jnani who is ever abiding in Anandam, who is ever blissful. So that is what we have to keep on trying. So we have to always seek Ishvara, saying, okay, I want to become a jnani. Let me remember that everything is Ishvara. So whatever I am doing, wherever I am, irrespective of all conditions, let me always try to remember this. Let me become a jnani so that I get that knowledge which can make me complete. I get that knowledge by which I will become blissful, after which I'll be fully satisfied. I'll be peaceful. I'll be content. A contentment will be there. I'll be contented, or contentment will be in me. I'll be ever abiding in bliss. As Shankara says, Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. So that, like, I'll ever rejoice in Anandam. So let me try for it. So by learning this chapter of Gita, as well as learning the four types of bhaktas, we have to move from artha artharti to jijnyasu. We are already jijnyasus, but we should never again ask Ishvara for worldly things, ask Ishvara for sorrow. Even if we ask Ishvara for removal of sorrow, we have to at the same time say, Ishvara, temporarily remove my sorrow, but also give me knowledge. Amma, like, I need some cash now. Amma, like, please give me cash. But also, along with that, Amma, I know cash won't give me eternal bliss, but temporarily I need some money, definitely. But along with that, Amma, give me the strength so that later I will not be able to ask it. So Amma, along with giving me cash, so ask Amma that, Amma, give me cash, but along with that, give me also the strength to remember that everything is Ishvara. So that is what we have to ask. So asking worldly things, as much as possible, if we can stop asking worldly things, it is well and good. If we are not able to, at least along with that, ask this one more thing from Ishvara, let me become a Jnani. So ask Ishvara that, okay, let me also become a Jnani. So the Jnani request also, let it go with all other requests. So that will ensure that temporarily we may ask things, but as days pass by, we'll feel that we all those worldly desires will get reduced, and this desire for becoming a Jnani, desire for perfection, desire for Anandam keeps on increasing. And then one day we will become a Jnani, we will realize that I am a Jnani, and then there will be only Anandam, and our life will become fulfilled. Dhanya Dhanyam. As Jividam will become Dhanyam, Dhanyuham, I'll become Dhanya, or Dhanyusi, let me become Dhanyami, we have to say. So Dhanyusi is let you become Dhanya. So let me become Dhanyam, let me become Dhanyam, let me ever rejoice in Anandam. So may Amma bless us so that the day is not far when we become Jnanis. I'm sure.